On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Again tonight, Jesus gives to us his powerful word as we continue to celebrate Easter. This is the third weekend of Easter, and so we hear another one of the Easter stories. Today, tonight, this weekend, we hear of the Emmaus disciples. But you only got part of the story in the gospel reading. Make sure you read the whole thing, Luke 24. Start at verse 13 and get the whole story. Tonight, God's word to us from Luke chapter 24. When Jesus was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Jesus opens eyes, and he opens more than that. Praise and thanks be to God that the open tomb was not the only thing that was opened on Easter. Praise and thanks that God continues to have openings for you and for me. How very important it is that we understand and see and recognize and celebrate those openings. And we pray for those kinds of openings for many, many people in the world today that do not have those that are open. As we hear, Jesus opened their eyes, Jesus opened the scriptures, and Jesus opened their minds. How significant that is, how very important that is. For some people, Easter is just kind of like Christmas, one of those holidays. You come to church and you hear the story about Jesus. You know, he died on Good Friday and he rose again on Easter. And then they go home and the story was told and it's all done. You see, they have closed minds. They have minds and eyes and hearts that are not open, but they are closed to the truth of God. They maybe hear the message, they maybe come and do the Easter thing, but they don't have the openings that are so very significant. Praise and thanks be to God that you're here tonight, saying that God is working and has worked and continues to work those openings in your hearts and in your eyes, and I pray that that might be the case continually. We've heard it from 1 Corinthians 15 a couple of times. If Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless. You're wasting your time being here. You shouldn't even be here if Christ has not truly been raised from the dead. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. It's worthless. You're still in your sins. But the scriptures say, what I received I passed on to you of first importance, Paul says. Christ died for your sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried, then he was raised from the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter and that whole list of different ones that he appeared to. You see how very important that it is that we have open eyes and hear what God would have for us to hear. Have you ever noticed that the Bible will repeat things three times? Very frequently. It's always interesting as you're reading through scripture and as you're reading and you say, wait a minute, I thought I just read that. And then as you read along, you go, well, I did. That's the third time. I hope it catches you. I hope it catches you and you stop and you say, whoa, three times. That must be important. Well, of course it is. All of scripture is important, of course. But how often it is that there are three times that the Holy Spirit tells us something. Now, in John chapter 20, that was last weekend's chapter. John chapter 20, where it talks about the resurrection and how interesting it is. Take a look at it later on sometime. But the first half of John 20 has three witnesses to the empty tomb. Peter and John run to the tomb and find it empty. Mary Magdalene comes and finds it empty, right? And then, as you heard in the sermon and in the gospel reading last weekend, you heard that Jesus appeared to his disciples. And what did he say? Peace be with you. Later on, he comes and he appears again with Thomas, and what does he say? Peace be with you. And then as he's giving to them the office of the keys and giving to them that authority to go, what does he say? Peace be with you. It ought to catch us three times. Oftentimes, Scripture will tell us these things three times. So did you catch it tonight? Jesus opened their eyes, he opened the Scripture, and he opened their minds. Very significant, very important as God's Word continues to speak to us. Opened minds, you bet. That's what we ought to have, right? Maybe not. What's the world tell us? The world tells us you ought to have an open mind. You ought to be open to all these different things, and you ought to just go ahead and receive anything and everything that comes along. Just have an open mind. You Christians, you're so close-minded. You're so backwards. You just don't have an open mind. That's not what the Scriptures are talking about with an open mind. God's Word very clearly says there is truth and there is error. And in the world, there's a lot of error, and you should not have an open mind to all of this error that's there. There's so much truth that's in the Scriptures. 7 days of creation, not evolution. That God made marriage between one man and one woman for life. That life begins at conception, and it ends at God's time of natural death. That male and female are what God makes, and it's not a decision that somebody else can make. There's all kinds of things that the world will say, oh, come on, have an open mind. Be open-minded about it, and just go along with what the world says. No, Jesus opens our eyes, opens the Scriptures, and opens our minds to the truth that he gives to us, and how very important that truth is for you and for me. We live in a very worldly world. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. We live in a world that wants anything and everything to go. We live in a very permissive society. I don't know about you, but I kind of like Calvin and Hobbes sometimes. They really have a good theological message to it sometimes, these cartoons that are there. Here, Calvin is saying, and it's really hard to kind of see it there. It's hard to see it here, too. From now on, I'm not doing anything I don't want to do, Calvin says. The world owes me happiness, fulfillment, and success. And then Hobbes, of course, the tiger says, well, lucky you. And then he says, yeah, I'm just here to cash in. I'm just living for what I can get out of life. I'm just living for what I can have here. The world says have an open mind and do anything that you want as long as it benefits you. Do anything you want. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. You should be willing and freedom to do anything that you want to. I'm entitled. I want it, and so I should have it. I deserve it. That is so contrary to what Jesus has done for us and what Jesus calls us to do. That's what the world says is open-mindedness, and how very contrary and wrong that is. Jesus knew that very, very well. And so he would talk to them, and he would say, those are blind guides. The world that is trying to lead you along those ways, that's blindness. And so he'll talk about how can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? We see the world falling into the pit, don't we? The ones that don't know Jesus Christ, the ones that are living life only for themselves, the ones who don't know the truth and live according to the truth. We shouldn't be surprised. Shouldn't be surprised at all. The very, very beginning. What does Satan say to Eve? Oh, Eve, God's holding out on you. He doesn't want your eyes to be opened. That when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open and you will know good and evil. And you know what? There was some truth to it, wasn't there? that Eve's eyes were opened now to sin, to blame, to guilt, to all kinds of things that God did not want for Adam and Eve to have in their world. And so, yes, their eyes were opened, but what happened? Now their minds became closed. Now they were so full of sin and so full of the things that this world has that God had to come back and say, now I need to rescue you, and I need to come and give you opened eyes and open the scriptures to you and open your mind to know and understand the scriptures, contrary to what the world has to say. Yeah, the world would have us live only for ourselves, sinful, selfish nature, all the decisions that we have. And the world will say to us, ah, the Bible, God's word, it's all just a bunch of rules and regulations to take your fun away. It kind of sounds like a spoiled child, doesn't it? Mom and Dad don't know what they're talking about. They're just trying to take my fun away from me. But 1 John, the scripture reading for today, talks about how blessed we are that we are called children of God. And that is what we are. We're children of God. And God, our Heavenly Father, knows always what's best for us. And so He gives us that precious gift of His law. His law that says, don't do that. It'll harm you. Don't do that. It'll cause you grief and trouble in your life. Don't do that. It won't bring helpfulness and joy for you. God's Word helps us to have opened eyes to the Scriptures, to His law, so that we might also hear the precious word of His gospel. And He opens minds to understand and know, yes, I want to live for Jesus and not for myself, because Jesus knows what's always best for me. The scriptures are God's love language, God's love messages for you and for me. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Yes, children of God. Sometimes rebellious children. Sometimes deciding, nope, it's my life and my decisions and I'm going to do what I want. But we have a loving Heavenly Father that will come and bring us back into that family once again. That's why we start with confession every time that we gather for worship. That's why we come here, don't we? To come and confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry I've been a rebellious child once again this week. And our Lord and Savior Jesus says, I love you and I forgive you. Now go and sin no more. Now go and live as a child of God, the children of God that we are. It's in the name of Jesus that eyes are opened, that the scriptures are opened, that our minds are opened, in the name of Jesus. Did you catch that in the first scripture reading for today from Acts, where Peter and John come and they heal that lame man, and they say, well, how did that happen? And they said, it's in the name of Jesus that this man who's walking before you is walking. It's in the name of Jesus. There's the key. There's the key to open eyes and open scriptures and open minds. The key to what scripture has to say for us is knowing that it is in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, what Jesus has done for us, and focusing our eyes and our minds and our hearts on Jesus and listening to the scriptures as it teaches us and tells us about Jesus. It's not just minds that can be closed. It can be Bibles. It can be Bibles that remain closed and not opened to hear God's word. If the Bible is only opened on Saturday nights as we worship together, then there's some closeness in our hearts and in our lives, that scripture opened each and every day. It's hard for God to speak through a closed Bible. Interesting message that's there. And that's because God speaks to us through His Word. He gives us His precious gifts through the sacrament. What a blessing to be here again tonight as Jesus continues to open our eyes, opens the Scripture to us, and opens our minds. so that we might share that gospel, bring it to others who are living with closedness in their lives. May Jesus continue to be an opening for you each and every day, and a continual opening, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our eyes opened to his scriptures, to his word, and our minds opened to all the gifts that he gives to us until life everlasting. Amen.